You know, it's absolutely essential that we recognize the importance of the Holy Spirit and God's plans and purposes. If you look through the Bible, the Holy Spirit's always been a part of it all. Now, people have a hard time. Okay, we talk about God. We talk about Jesus. We talk about the Holy Spirit. I'm confused. Is God schizophrenic? Does he suffer from multiple personality disorder? What's the deal here? Well, we'll talk about that. He's all the same. He's all one, but he's got different personalities for different things. I know that sounds confusing. He's not confused, so don't worry about it. But it's essential to understand that the importance of the Holy Spirit for God's plans and purposes. And most people have no idea what difference it would make if the Holy Spirit didn't exist. You say, oh, I can get by without the Holy Spirit and Jesus. I'm just this God thing. I'm into that, but this Holy Spirit stuff. Well, no, because the Holy Spirit is God, number one. You can't cut away the one without the other. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no creation. Without the Holy Spirit, it said the Spirit hovered over the waters. Without creation, we wouldn't have it without the Holy Spirit. We'd have no universe. We'd have no human race, no Bible, no New Testament, no power to proclaim the gospel, which is primarily the infilling of the Holy Spirit, what its purpose is. No faith. We'd have no new birth in Christ. Holy Spirit convicts of sin. If you don't have conviction, you have no reason to change. There'd be no holiness, no conviction of right and wrong, no Christians without the Holy Spirit. That's how important it is. Holy Spirit is the agent of salvation who convicts us of sin, reveals the truth about Jesus, and gives us a new birth and adopts us into the family of Christ. That's pretty complete, I think. Now, if you take notes, I really toyed around. I've got like 9 pages here, brother. It's a book. If you take notes, I know. If you take notes, praise God. Because I remember I used to take notes because I'm not smart enough to go, okay, heard that, got it, yeah. Then walk away and go, what was that about? You know, you ever do that? You go somewhere and someone said, hey, you went to church. You said, yeah, what was the sermon about? Well, it's good. And what was it about? Well, yeah, well, it's on the web. You can listen to it, you know. No, what was it about? Well, it was really good. God really touched me. In what way? Well, I don't know. I mean, you take notes because it's proven that what we hear, what we see, what we do, if we do that 3 times, it's most likely to stick instead of bouncing off, right? So be a note taker. The Bible says that we need to be workmen rightfully dividing the word of truth, the Bible. And so we take the effort. I just want to encourage you, take notes. I wish I had more time. Like print out all this stuff and you can fill in the little blanks and that sort of thing. But don't. So take notes. I really believe it's that important. If I could tell you to take notes over anything these next 4 weeks, it would be this. So he's the agent of salvation. He's not an it. He's not a thing. He's not a cosmic goo. You know? He is a person that has feelings, intellect. He is the person of God. He's not a thing. You know, sometimes we treat the Holy Spirit like it's an it, like a monster or something. No, it's the nature of God himself. So in Acts 5, Peter's confronting Ananias and Sapphira. By the way, how many read along this week with the reading guides? Okay, please do. That way you'll come when we talk about things. There's so much in the book of Acts that if I went over everything in there, we would be here for 2 years. And this way you can fill in all the blanks, right, in between the lines, and you can get all the information. We have, Leslie's holding up Bible reading cards for the book of Acts, and they're located at the table in the back. Please remember to grab one. It's very simple. It's basically a chapter a day. No big deal. Chapter a day, read, pray, God, what are you saying to me? Okay. So in Acts 5, Peter's confronting Ananias and Sapphira. They were part of the church, but they had sold some of their property, and they'd kept back a portion for themselves instead of giving it all to the needs of the church, as others were doing. And the problem was they lied about it. This was the problem. Not that they didn't give everything. They lied about giving everything. The trouble is, they wanted more of the praise of men than they wanted to serve God. And so Peter said, because they lied about it, Peter asked this, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart so that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? What made you do such a thing? You have lied not to men, but to God. Lying to the Holy Spirit was the same as lying to God in Peter's mind. God and the Holy Spirit are the same, is what he's saying. If you're lying to the Holy Spirit, you're lying to God. And he said, that is because he is God. You know, he's not God's little errand boy. You know what I mean? Holy Spirit, run and get me a Coke. No. Holy Spirit is all God and just as important. So completely united, three distinct people, not separate, but three distinct, though not separate persons, I should say, so completely united that they form one true and eternal God. So we have to treat him as a person and look upon him as that infinite living God within our own hearts, the Holy Spirit within us, worthy of worship, worthy of our love, and worthy of total commitment. There's that word, that C word, commitment. That's not a word that people like to hear today, commitment. But I'm telling you right now, if you're not a committed follower of Christ, you won't run the race to finish. You'll sit down halfway through. You've got to make a commitment to the things of God to say, God, you and me, I'm going all the way, whatever it takes. If I lose an arm and leg in the process, it doesn't matter. I'd rather do that than lose my soul. You, Lord, are the one I'm running with. So, you know, Acts was written about 63 AD by Dr. Luke. Luke was one of the disciples. And doctors, as you know, are very, you know, scientific, very exact, right? So when Luke writes down this stuff in his gospel, you can know that he paid some attention to detail. And so he writes this intensely accurate account of the first Christian church, Acts, or Acts of the Apostles. And by the way, Acts is still being done today. You are part of it. We're still writing the pages, okay, in that book. Until Jesus returns for his church, and we haven't talked about the second coming of Christ, we will one day. Jesus, the Bible teaches, is coming back. But until then, he's called us to be here, do the job he sent us to do. Isn't it good to know that you were born for a purpose and not just to work at Coffee Lovers, not just to work. I love Coffee Lovers, though. It's my favorite place, sort of. And he's called you for reasons and given your life just an identifiable quality, more so than just existence. It's still being written. It's still an ongoing action of the church. And so Luke has two purposes in writing Acts. Number one, he shows how the gospel of Jesus victoriously traveled around the globe through the power of the Holy Spirit. Much opposition, by the way. It went from the Jews to the Gentiles. In other words, it went from the Israelites to the rest of the world, transferred. And number two, he reveals the role of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He reveals the role of the Holy Spirit in the church's life and mission. He emphasizes the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, if that confuses you, last week I talked about water baptism. We had three or four people sign up interested in that. If you've given your life to Christ and you know that, then make a public commitment of that with water baptism. We'll be doing that, like Matt said, but sign up in the back. We can still do that. There's no reason not to if you love Christ. That's all I can say. So he emphasizes the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God's gifting and provision for empowering the believers to proclaim the message of the cross. That is probably the biggest goal of Acts and of the Holy Spirit, is to give us power to be the proper witness God wants us to be. You know, I have some people say, and I'm not an intense person. I'm actually a shy person. If you got to really know me, even my wife could tell you that. I'm basically a shy person. Doing these things is not easy for me necessarily, but I do it because I believe God asked me to. So I push myself, commitment. I push myself to do some things that I'm not necessarily comfortable doing. the Holy Spirit wants to empower us to do those kinds of things through and in our life to touch other people. Without the Holy Spirit, I could not stand here like this. I could not sing. I could not, I mean, not the way I would want to. I could not speak with any kind of conviction. I have people tell me, well, you're just all, you know, that's just you. You're excited about that. But no, that's the Holy Spirit in me. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life because it's real to me. And I don't care what other people think because I know it's real for them too. And they're being robbed of life. Bottom line. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to be able to better touch the world. What a great gift. That's why it's so important. That's why we're going to take 4 weeks to talk about it. Complete, you know, and also he said to continue the ministry of Jesus. You know, when Jesus left to go to heaven, he didn't say, that's it, done, show's over, see ya. He said, no, now you go. Go to the whole world. He said we could cast out demons. Ooh, booga, 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 I know. He said we could heal the sick. He said you could raise the dead. Put the funeral homes out of business, I guess. But he said we could do these things. Why? Because Jesus did it, and it's a continuance of what he did. Things don't stop. Jesus did these things by an example for us to follow. Now, before you think I'm getting weird, just hang on. I'm just telling you what the Bible is saying about us and what Jesus says about us and what we're to do and be able to do. And it's the Holy Spirit that can do these things, not us. It's just our faith and what God can do through us. You understand the difference? He records three times that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was accompanied by speaking in new tongues. Now, how many have ever heard of that term, new tongues, spiritual tongues? How many have heard that? Now, some of you maybe have heard of it and you're like, yeah, and I don't like it. Scares me. Some of you are saying, I don't want to know about it. Scares me. The truth is, it's a gift from God. When we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's hard for us to really know that much has happened sometimes if we don't have a physical evidence. Tongues are a supernatural language that God instills within us. Matter of fact, then you can look it up in Acts 2, 4 and 10, Acts 45 through 46, Acts 19, 1 through 7. Those are three accounts right there where the baptism was accompanied by this new language that people said, I don't know where it came from, but I'm speaking it. Now, there's a purpose for this, and we'll get into that too. We'll see that the entire church preached the word, not just the pastor guy. The entire church, I hope I didn't dent it. The entire church preached the word wherever they went. Does that mean you need to go out on the street and go, hey, you're dying, you're going to hell. I'm telling you, you know, no, it doesn't mean that because that probably won't work. But it does mean you need to be ready to share who it is that's in you, the Spirit of Christ that's in you. All the time we get opportunities, all the time, if we'll just be looking. And the Holy Spirit opens those doors for us to walk through. All the time I have it happen to me. And just people want to, well, what are you doing there? What's a church? Why are you doing that? It just happens, you know? If you start saying, well, I'm going to church. You go to church? Yeah. What church? I go to this Damascus Road International Church. It's got this weird guy with almost no hair that talks. You know? I mean, people will begin to ask you things, you know? And just be ready to share the truth. Not being ashamed of anything. Ashamed of what? Love? Life? That's what that is. That's who he is. So everywhere they went, and it said that the Holy Spirit went with them. He accompanied them, walking around along with them. And he said he performed miraculous signs, wonders, and miracles because they were bold enough in the Holy Spirit to tell other people truth. And you know what? When we're bold enough to talk truth, God shows up. You get chances to pray for people when you're not really expecting to. And guess what? That's when God touches people. Not because we plan. We're having a healing service. Okay, everyone come. We're having a healing service. No. What about when someone says they don't feel good? And you say, can I just pray with you for a minute? Wow, revolutionary idea. Let God touch people where they're at. That's what happened. And not the least of those miracles being the saving of souls. And we'll see how the baptism of the Holy Spirit touched these disciples after Jesus' resurrection. And thousands said, what must we do to be saved? And that's pretty influential. I don't know about you, but I want to have that kind of influence. If it's a good thing for someone like that, I want to be able to give it to them. Godly men and women prayed fervently. They saw angels. They had visions. They witnessed mighty signs and wonders. They drove out demons. They healed the sick and proclaimed this gospel with great boldness and authority. That same Holy Spirit can do those things today in our life, guys. No different. Holy Spirit, Luke mentions it 50 times in Acts. And you know something? Acts is just not a history book. It's a handbook for our lifestyle today. It should be a handbook for the way we live, for a Spirit-filled church. I know in my own life, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, personally, it just really transformed my life. At first, I wasn't sure what I was getting into, you know? They had a prayer service, and they had people come up the front, and I'm like, yeah, I guess I want that. You know, it's one of those. And went up to the front. By the way, there's nothing wrong with coming to the front. It's a symbol of your effort to meet God where he's at, is all it is. Not that God's necessarily in the front. He's probably in the back, too. But it's a testimony of your effort, you know. And I remember coming to the front, people praying for me. I'm like, I don't know what's supposed to happen. I've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit. I don't know what to expect. And I remember being filled with the Holy Spirit and these new tongues, this new language began to pour out of my mouth. But not in the beginning. In the beginning, I sounded like a motorboat, you know. I was doing this. You know, I sounded like I was kind of like embarrassed, you know. And because all these people are praying around me and over me. And these people are like really spiritual titans. And here I am going, you know, but the thing is, the more I pressed in to God and just said, no, God, if this is real, I want it. If this is real, I want it. It's that simple. If it's real, I want it. And bloom is just started coming out. Because the devil is a liar and he will do anything to keep you from realizing your full potential in Christ. If he can rob you, keep you, if he can minimize you, keep you small, he'll do it. If we will listen to him. But God wants to expand our life and explode our life. And the Holy Spirit is one thing he does through us. It gave me a new way to pray to God, to talk to God, you know. The Bible says that when you don't know what else to pray, you can pray in these new tongues. It's perfect prayer language devised from heaven. I mean, don't you feel dumb sometimes praying, Lord, just help me, you know, you're trying to come up with all these things. But when you're praying in the Holy Spirit, it's like God praying through you. It's a good way. So I ask that you keep your heart open these next 4 weeks. Don't just shut it off. Don't just turn it off and say, I don't want to hear about that stuff. I'm not coming back. It's weird. No, it's God. And what God gives is nice. Okay? So keep an open heart, an open mind, open attitude, and read in Acts along with us. In Luke 24, 45, 49, it's not on the screen, but it says that the Holy Spirit opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. That should be our prayer. Lord, open my mind that I can understand what you're saying to me. Let it just bounce off those pages and just that I can absorb everything that you have for me. Because he also said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. That was what Jesus said to his disciples. In Acts 1, 1 through 5, you got it, Glory? Luke is writing to Theophilus, in Acts. He says, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, look, I'm going. Something's going to happen. It's a promise from the Father. Hang out in Jerusalem. Don't try to go out on your own without this. You've seen me. You've walked with me. But wait for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. I have something for you that's going to revolutionize your life. And so Jesus wasn't really giving brand new information here, because this had been prophesied long ago. The Jewish leaders knew about these verses. They just didn't want to believe that Jesus was a fulfillment of any of it. And in Joel 2:28, it talks about the day of the Lord. It says, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. All people. That includes us. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. That covers most of us, sons and daughters. You know, if you're in between, we'll pray for you. Your old men will dream visions. Your young men will see visions. Dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. All my servants, both men and women. God's not a sexist, a genderist. I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will pour out my spirit in those days. And if you read the beginning of that, he's talking about if you really cry out to me, if you really seek me. He's talking about restoring Israel. But he said, in these days, if that happens, you can expect this. So Jesus made many appearances for 40 days after his resurrection. But his last instructions were these things. To stay and wait for the gift the Father promised. Because they had a baptism to undergo. Not an immersion in water, but an immersion in the Holy Spirit, the power of God. Because Jesus knew there was unfinished work, and they needed the power to be the followers, supernatural help to accomplish that. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, now some people want to argue this. They'll say, well, I've been baptized as a baby, I've been this and that, or I was baptized last week. I don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not the same thing. Baptism in water is a baptism under repentance. It's a confession of what Christ has forgiven you of and your new life in Christ. It's a public illustration to others that, hey, I'm part of the family of God. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is an infilling that comes after that. It's a subsequent action that happens after being water baptized, after a personal relationship with Christ is in your life. It's a different situation. It's an infilling for the purposes of fulfillment of God's plan for your life. And John 20:21-22 says, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, what that is, these guys had been followers of Christ. It's not that they weren't believers in God, but Jesus had not yet gone to the Father. The resurrection power was what he breathed on them. He breathed a born-again spirit, a newness of life into them. That's what that was. The same thing that happens to us when we ask Christ into our life and to forgive us of our sins. That's what happens. Our spirit is reborn by the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit breathing in us. Now, that is different than being filled with the Holy Spirit. At that point in time, Jesus breathed on them, and that regenerating presence of the Holy Spirit and the new life of a risen Savior came into their life. He had promised them before the crucifixion they'd receive the Holy Spirit as the one who would transform and regenerate them. He says, he lives with you and will be in you in John 14:17. Jesus fulfilled that promise when he breathed on them and said, receive. We know this is true because there's a Greek word for breathed, not to bore you with all this stuff, because I don't claim to be a Greek scholar, but I read about this. But there's a Greek word for breathe that is the same exact word that is used in Genesis 2:7. When God breathed into Abraham's nostrils, it says, the breath of life, and he became a living being. So that's the same breath we're talking about that comes into us and restores us when we ask Christ to come into our heart. It's different than baptism in the Holy Spirit. Just as God breathed in that breath of life into man, he became a new creation. Jesus breathed into the disciples, and they became that new creation. It was that exact historical moment in time that he entered and began to live in the disciples. So this receiving of life from the Spirit preceded their baptism in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, because Jesus has already breathed on them. Now he says, go wait for the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. Two distinct things, two distinct places, two distinct times. So here's the conclusion. The disciples received the Holy Spirit's regenerating work prior to coming to the infilling of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 was an experience occurring after that regeneration. Two distinct things. So, all believers received the Holy Spirit at the time of their confession of faith in Christ and are regenerated with that new life. But afterwards must experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit for power to be his witnesses. And this is a normal progression of Christian walk, life, and faith. Jesus continued with his instructions and declared these last words before he went to heaven in Acts 1, 8 through 9. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So he said, the primary thing is I'm going to baptize you for a boldness to be a better witness. This is the key verse of Acts right here, Acts 1:8. And we'll return to it probably every week. So we see that motive here. It says, because you're to be a witness of me, and the Holy Spirit's going to enable you to be a better witness of me. One common goal, to be better servants of the King, not to show off, not to be super spiritual, but to be that witness of him. Called us to feed his sheep, to be fishers of men, and to reach the lost. And the Holy Spirit will definitely empower us to do that. So how does all that take place? They had a place that they were staying called the upper room. We call it the upper room simply because it was upstairs. I doubt if they had a sign over the door that says upper room, arrow. But that's where they're staying. 120 of them gathered together and prayed fervently, crying out to God. And it says that things appeared over their heads as tongues of fire. And there came such a mighty rushing wind that came into the room. They knew something was going on. The wind of the Holy Spirit began to swirl. Now, I had this experience happen to me. I was in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. We were building churches down there as a mission team I was on. And they took us to this outdoor meeting. And they said, we're going to take you to a tent meeting before we take you to the hotel. And we were really tired because we'd flown all night, basically. And we were, oh, great, a tent meeting. It's going to be a little tent, hot, a lot of bugs flying around hitting you in the face and your mouth. And a bunch of old ladies sitting in wooden chairs, and it's going to be kind of boring. So that was what I thought. So we get there, and we pull up in this multicolored bus because it's South America, and you have to have every color on the bus, you know. And we pull up, and there's like 10,000 people out in an open field with these light bulbs strung out across, just like it's some kind of like Christmas tree lot or something, you know, or used car lot. And all these people there, and I'm like, ay, 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 10,000 people. And they said, yeah, some of these people walk for hours, and they stay here for 5 to 7 hours standing the whole time. And then they walk back at like 3 and 4 and 5 in the morning. I said, that's serious stuff. I think they'd do that in America, you know. We're too busy going to Walmart, you know. And these people, you know, I'm like, wow, already it's humbling. And so they take us back And we're watching this whole thing go on. This guy named Carlos Anacondia is preaching, and he's just a businessman that God put this on his heart and is anointed of the Holy Spirit. He gets there at night and preaches every night for 5 hours to these people. And if a dude works all day, he's wearing a suit and everything, like he just got off, you know, off work. And they said, "Hey, Carlos wants to pray for your team." We're like, "Okay, sounds good." So they lined us up in front of a tent. I'm not going to tell you what kind of tent it was. That's, but okay, it was the demon tent. Now you go, what's he talking about now, Mabel? The thing is, there was such power exhibited there at this meeting that when this guy would preach, these are 10,000 people, that the Holy Spirit was so strong that if there were things going on in people's lives that were not godly, they would react. They would start doing things, and they would have to take them in this tent and deliver them. Saw it. I'm sorry if you don't believe it. I saw it. I was there, bought the T-shirt, bought the CD, got the ticket. I was there. They lined us up outside of this tent, the demon tent. I'm going, I'm in the back row. They're back there. He's in front of me. They lined us up. And I remember they said, he just wants to pray over you. And I remember watching. I'm a fairly new believer. And he's walking by people, and he's like doing this. And people are going, boom. I'm like, ooh. Big guys, you know, bricklayer guys, boom, puddles, boom. And then I see him go on people, and they go, whang. I'm like, he's coming my way. That's what I'm, you know how it is? I'm like one of the last ones. So I'm watching all this, and I'm like, okay, demon tent behind me. I got the tornado man in front of me, you know, and I'm like, where are you going to go? 10,000 people over here. Not good. So I'm standing there, and he finally gets to me, and he just kind of goes, and I mean to tell you, I thought there was a jet landing on my head. I heard this, and it kept going. I know all he did was, but it just swirled around my head. Next thing I knew, I was laying on the ground, and I couldn't get up. And I was speaking in tongues, and I'd already been baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoken tongues, but now it was like, this was like, blah. I'd like, God gave me a whole new language, you know? It's like, I went from saying, see my dog, I have cat, you know, I am fine, you know, talking very simple to like, well, blah, 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 you know, I had this whole thing going on, and I'm like, wow, this is great. I remember I couldn't even hardly get up. And, so this mighty rushing wind they talk about in the upper room, I can somewhat relate. Now, does that mean if you ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit that you're going to expect this tornado to come on your head and mess your hair up? Not necessarily. I'm just saying that's what happened for me. And many, many more infillings of the Holy Spirit. Because you know why we need to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit? Because we leak. Things happen in our life that just like, you know, sometimes you need new infusions of God, new things. That's why it's not enough to say, well, I did that. I got saved. I got water baptized. Yeah, yeah. I occasionally throw on a dime in the offering thing. I do all these things. Okay, I did it. I'm done. I guess that's it. I just wait to die now. No, God has more new stuff if we just seek him and ask him. He's always got more. When we pray fervently with anticipation, expectation, we can expect to see God move. God loves the prayers of expectancy from his children. Praying with that confidence that God is interested in our prayers always gets God's attention. That's why when we pray for people up here, pray, get God's attention. Pray with expectancy. I believe that Kai is going to be healed of cancer. Pray that. Doesn't matter if you've seen people die of cancer. God still heals. God can still heal that cancer. Don't write it off. We believe with expectancy. God has a hard time refusing that kind of thing in our life. When we believe something, we anticipate it. So the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. You know, and I read this and I thought, wow, this is such a good truth. Because Pentecost was a Jewish festival of the grain harvest. It's when they would bring the first fruits, the first harvests of their grain to the temple and offer it to God. And this happened, this Holy Spirit outpouring happened at on the first day of Pentecost. And it was cool because just as these people are bringing their harvest offerings to God for Pentecost, what happened was at Pentecost, it symbolizes for the church at that time the beginning of God's harvest for souls. Because when God baptized with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden boldness began to click. Not arrogance, confidence in God. A new boldness, a new proficiency, a new zeal to want to share. And we're going to close with this, but I want to read this in Acts 2, 1 through 4 first, where the Holy Spirit comes. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, you got it, Glory? Acts 2? Okay. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. So God showed up. And they all spoke in other tongues. We have that natural tongue of human speech, and then we can have a supernatural tongue that we can speak with a heavenly language. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. That's what he's referring to, tongues of men, tongues of angels. Okay. It's possible also for that tongue to be given for a specific time and place so that he can speak through you to someone who speaks that very language. We were in Costa Rica, another mission trip, been on a lot of these, Costa Rica, and we had a team of people down there. And Kathy Buckles was one of my workers that was with us. And Kathy was praying at the prayer time at the end. We were praying over all these people. And Kathy was praying over this one woman, and she was just praying in tongues in this heavenly language. And later the woman said, how is it you speak Spanish? She tried to talk to her in Spanish, and Kathy's going, I don't speak Spanish. And was, no, you just spoke to me in Spanish. Kind of like, yeah, you know, don't tell me you didn't. You just did. But what Kathy didn't know was God was speaking through her in this lady's language. So he had a message for her that Kathy wouldn't know about. And so he spoke this language through her at that specific time for that person. Cool, huh? Because that person needed to hear something from God. That's the kind of God we serve. He cares so much. He'll go to such extremes to use us if we'll just be open and willing. And why? To help someone else. Really, that's the bottom line, isn't it? Not, look at me, I speak in tongues, blah, blah, blah. No, it's to help someone else, to be a witness for God, to revolutionize someone else's life because people need it. We're going to stop for today. But I want you this week to really just seek God and to say, God, what are some of the things that you want to do in my life? What are the plans that you have for me? What are some ways that you want to use me? And just begin to look for those things from God. He's got a plan and purpose for every person in this room. I mean, even in Stephen's death, if you're reading in Acts 7, when Stephen was stoned, it said that he preached with such boldness, they got so mad at him that they ran at him with gnashing teeth, whatever that is, and screaming at the top of their lungs, holding their hands over their ears, like, I don't want to hear about this anymore. And they ran at him and stoned him. And the Bible says that Jesus stood. He looked up to heaven, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Now, when Jesus stands for someone, that says something. As he gave his life for what he believed, Jesus stood for him in heaven. What a way to go. But if you notice when they ran, they said blasphemy because he was preaching to them, and they said kill him. They had their hands over their ears and screamed so they couldn't hear what he was saying. I'm saying to you today, don't leave here holding your hands over your ears, screaming, I don't want to. You know, Let God speak to your heart about what he is saying to you. Don't be like the Pharisees who stoned Stephen, who didn't want to hear it and missed out on God. Be like Stephen, who had Jesus stand for him. If we stand for nothing, then we stand. If we don't stand, you know, what's our life about? We've got to hear and be open to everything God has for us. What a blessing it is. Father, I just pray today for every person in this room that God, you would use us this week. Father, let us be looking for little ways just to be a blessing to other people. And Father, as we're faithful in those little things, we know, God, you'll give us more opportunities too. Thank you for that, God. We say, bring that on, God. And Lord, as we read in Acts, and as the things we hear about the Holy Spirit, let us not look at it as some kind of spooky thing, but let us look at, this is you, Jesus. This is you, God. This is you, Holy Spirit. Make my ears open that I would not be one who runs out shouting and unwilling to hear, but I might be one that says, I've got an open heart for everything you have for me, God. The things you've created for me to do in this life, I want to fulfill, and I want to fulfill to the best I can do. And Lord, apart from you, Holy Spirit, I can't do it as well. So Holy Spirit, reveal these things to us, God, this week, that we might live that life in such a way that wherever we go, you're shaking the cities. You're healing the sick. You're using us to proclaim the gospel of Christ to a world that so desperately needs to hear a message of love and life and hope. Thank you, Lord. Pour out your spirit in our lives and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.